Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the new film, Goodbye, Christopher Robin's out in select theaters. It's a film that focuses on the life of famed Winnie the Pooh writer A.A. Milne and his son, Christopher Robin. Of course, Winnie the Pooh was based on Christopher Robin and his stuffed animals, and this film explores the relationship between father and son and the emotional toll the success of Winnie the Pooh had on the real Christopher Robin. In other words, what's it like to have your childhood bought and sold, sharing it with billions of people around the world? The movie is getting great reviews, as it should. The film was directed by Simon Curtis. The British director has several film and television credits on his resume, including producing My Week with Marilyn back in 2011. Goodbye, Christopher Robin is playing all around Chicago, and director Simon Curtis is in studio with me now. Mr. Curtis, thanks for being here.
Delighted to be here.
Fantastic movie. I really, it stuck with me. This story, it's not one that's told, A.A. Milne's story. We know the story. We know Winnie the Pooh. We know all that. But talk about the idea of making
a
film.
I think
out of this.
In America, a lot of people assume in Britain everyone knows this story, but that's not the case. It's an unknown story there, too. Really, unlike my last two films that I sort of pushed into existence, this was a script that came to me. And I loved the fact that, on one level, it took us behind the curtain to show Winnie the Pooh being created by the family that created it. But also, it's about so many other things as well. Most importantly, about family and about fathers and sons.
It's a story I didn't know much about. Of course, Winnie the Pooh is, as you mentioned at the end of the film, one of the most popular, if not the most popular children's book of all time. This film is really about the relationship between A.A. Milne and his son, Christopher Robin, Billy Moon, and how the book actually came out of the real-life story. Talk about that story. Talk about
because what's confusing is that it's not the story of Christopher Robin. We see, and it's, I think, the heart of the film, this idyllic summer in the gorgeous Ashdown Forest, which is south of London. The father and son slowly, almost like falling in love with each other and getting to know each other. And whilst they play these games and we see them inventing the Pooh Sticks game on the actual Pooh Sticks bridge where it actually took place, they also start sharing their imagination and they start playing with the toys, you know, a random bear and a random donkey and so on. And you can almost feel the audience sigh with pleasure when you hear Eeyore given his name or they decide to call Tiger Tigger. So it's definitely that. And then, of course, they couldn't have predicted that these stories would become internationally famous, and that would put a lot of pressure on the boy.
And it's amazing to me because it's almost two films in the way that when you get to the point where they are having this idyllic summer and they're falling in love with each other, because up to that point, it was kind of a cold relationship.
Well, typical of that
typical
class
of that,
at that time.
Of course. And you do feel warm and pleasant, and you do have this this familiarity, of course, as you just mentioned. But then there's the side, the second half of this movie, which is about essentially that childhood, those moments, and Christopher Robin, the actual real-life Christopher Robin, not really being in control of that story because Milne wrote it, he created all these characters around it, used the boy without, not necessarily permission, it's not like he needed to get a signature, but this idea that his childhood was stolen from him.
Yeah, but again, it was an accident. I mean, they never thought these little stories, these little poems would have the reach they did. And also, they thought, because his name is Christopher Robin, but they didn't call him that. They called him Billy Moon.
That it would protect him, right?
They thought that was a distinction, but the world didn't make that distinction.
What did you know about Milne before you got involved
very,
in this
very, very little, actually. And I certainly didn't know that he was a very successful comedy playwright and a comedy writer before the First World War. And I certainly didn't know that he'd had a very difficult, as many, many people did, time fighting in World War I and then had come back with what we now know to be his PTSD.
The movie does a great job of explaining that and making that a big part of his character. I mean, the reason he is out in the woods south of London, almost finds a healing moment with his son, is because of PTSD. And it is something that never gets talked about when you talk about the World War
I. Yeah, I was very proud that in New York yesterday, a Vietnam vet came up to me after seeing the film and had been deeply moved by it and wanted to show it to all his comrades, you know, and you know, there are so many great war films. This year we've had Dunkirk, but in its quiet way, I'd like to think this film shows the impact, the lasting impact of war as well. And it's not only on the men and women who fight these wars, but on their spouses at home and their children. And Christopher Robin is a victim of World War I, even though he wasn't born when it ended.
the whole story, and it's beautifully told by Simon Curtis in the film Goodbye, Christopher Robin. But I mean, that war plays as a central part of this story, and even the relationship, the father and son relationship. Why have war be such a part of a story that's really about Winnie the Pooh and
Because Winnie the Pooh was created by a man who was suffering from a trauma based on World War One, and then also the books became successful so quickly because they enabled readers, first in England and then elsewhere, to reconnect with the innocent, halcyon days before the war took those away.
Yeah, and you do a great job of explaining that too, that London has a feel, and Milne talked about it, that there's this, the emotion is negative, and that Winnie the Pooh brought positivity or happiness to the fold after World War One.
That's right.
I love the idea that happiness, it served its purpose, meaning that people loved, like you said, in England and across the world. But then really it's almost juxtaposed with the idea that Christopher Robin's actual happiness changes. As the world's happiness is, or it becomes, the world becomes happy because of these stories, Christopher Robin's world doesn't.
And that's an irony of the whole story, that they had this wonderful time, created these magical stories that were going to enchant the whole world. And then the fame that those stories brought put them in a very difficult place as a family. However, as you'll see, they come to a nice resolution at the end. And also, a friend of mine went to visit the real Christopher Robin, and he was an older man running a bookshop in West England. And he happily signed his copy of Winnie the Pooh. So I feel that that Christopher...
There was some resolution to this.
Yes, correct.
Simon Curtis in studio with me, the director of Goodbye, Christopher Robin, which is out in select theaters in Chicagoland. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with the director here in studio. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio tonight, Simon Curtis. He is the director of the film Goodbye, Christopher Robin, which is in select theaters now. Great film, really about A.A. Milne and his relationship with his son, Christopher Robin. Of course, the Winnie the Pooh writer and subject, Christopher Robin. I have so many questions about childhood. Really stuck with me, this movie. But this is a period piece. This place takes place in the 20s. Talk about your, as a director, do you like doing these kind of films when you get to travel back in history and create time and place again?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, I do, is the short answer. But I didn't seek out, let's do a film set in the 20s. Yeah. I just really like this script, you know, and I liked the fact that you show the creation of this book, but also examines so many other things that are relevant today. Like, we're portraying actually the first ever child celebrity and the impact fame has on him. And also, as I say, there aren't that many films about fathers and sons. Yeah. And I've been very pleased that, as well as hearing a lot of laughter at the screenings we've had all over the place, I also hear a lot of sniffles, not least from men. And someone said it's very unusual for men to have a little cry.
There is the paparazzi kind of element when the book takes off and Christopher Robin is almost forced to promote the book. I mean, that's they're doing. Yeah. They're unbeknownst to him. The parents are saying, hey, get out there, you know.
Yeah.
It's just this startling idea that this concept of chasing fame or trying to get people to sign autographs, whatever it might be, in the 20s is very similar to people standing outside of airports in 2017. Yeah. It's very that I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, but to be fair, the parents couldn't have predicted this because it had never happened before. And the fame was really unusual. But I think slowly they understand the impact it's having on him.
Yeah,
certainly the father does.
Definitely a point there. Do you want to go out of your way to make sure that there is fairness to A.A. Milne and his wife? Because they do come across, because they are selling a book and this is happening. I mean, there's some tender moments in the film that you find out are staged because the parents are doing that for promotional opportunity.
Just one of those.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like you seem to be reticent to point them and put them in that box.
Because, I mean, I think I had two brilliant actors we have mentioned, Donald Gleeson and Margot Robbie.
They did great jobs.
And they knew they were playing characters of a certain time, of a certain class. And it would have been wrong for them to be all sort of cozy and, like, say, modern parents. And interestingly, Daphne, Margot's character, is in Christopher later in life said that he only saw his mother for sort of half an hour before bed or maybe half an hour after breakfast. But during those 2 half hours, she was totally there for him. And we see her give him the famous toys that starts it all.
Right,
we see her invent the voices. We see the love and the pleasure in her face at certain times. But she thinks it's okay to hand the kid to a nanny because that's what they did then. And a whole generation of English men were brought up by their nannies and then kicked off to boarding school. And you could argue that's why England is the country it is, and not in a good way.
I really love the period piece of it, and you did such a good job of depicting 1920s London and south of London. I really enjoyed it because of the relationships. And you mentioned just a second ago the idea of this being almost the precedent for childhood stardom. And we see this a lot in our society, where someone is a star on a TV show when they're 8 years old, and as they become an adult, that childhood is, because it was taken from them or shared, they have a hard time adjusting. And Christopher Robin in this film, that's sort of what's happening here. The world around him knows almost more about him than he does. Talk about trying to unlock that recipe, that how important childhood is to us as adults.
I would say that one of the great themes of this film is pay attention to your children or to your parents while they're around, because the nanny says you never know what happens next. Mm-hmm. And you look around, and on the subway, you just see a family all looking at their separate phones or in a restaurant. And I want to say, hopefully those kids won't go to war, but they will go somewhere. So cherish them while you've got them. Yeah. And I think that's a very important modern theme.
And in this case, what I thought to be interesting was that Christopher Robin, he had to deal with the fame. Meaning when he went to prep school and he went on, even as they tried to shut it down.
It got
away from them. He had to continually deal with it. And talk about that, because that's something I think that as we talk about what the relationship between childhood and adulthood, this idea that fame was great for him. People are like, oh, it's Christopher Robin. I think there's even points where like Christopher Robin must be living the life.
Yeah.
And he's not, because everybody around him has taken pieces of him.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know it.
I know. And it's definitely a mixed bag. You know, the last 9-year-old boy I cast who'd never acted before was Daniel Radcliffe, and he's gone on to play Harry Potter, obviously. So I've watched that, and he's got from a very lovely family and is a most lovely young man now. And Will, who plays Christopher Robin, is also from a great family, and who knows whether he'll go on to act or just go back to school. But he's a special boy, and I wish him good wishes.
We mentioned the actors, and the actors are great in this film. And you have read a couple things about you today that really is your strength, of being able to pull these roles out of the actors, and especially when you're talking about time periods and playing a certain class in the 20s, and even trying to emotionally soften them so that they don't come across so hard, but also be true to the time. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How important is that for you as a director to get that right?
I mean, that's the job in a way, and you don't ever know. I mean, you always learn about a film when you see it for the first time. And so what I try and do is be to cast the best people and then support them to do their best work and give ourselves as many options as possible so we can tweak it in the cutting room.
My final question, just about Winnie the Pooh, which is really, we haven't even talked about that, the story that really has sparked this entire story. Do you look at it differently now? After going through this whole process and learning about Milne and filming this, do you look at the story of Winnie Pooh?
I go back and think, I wonder how that idea came about and what game triggered that or whatever. But, I love the Winnie the Pooh stories. And obviously, they've got a lot of fans all over the world. And I hope they'll come and see the film because, even though there's quite a mixture of emotions in it, there is so much sort of joy and happiness and laughter as well as tears.
Simon Curtis is the director of Goodbye, Christopher Robin, which is in select theaters in Chicago. I can't thank you enough for coming in.
Really, my pleasure.
And
thank you very much.
And congrats on a great film.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.